All righty. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you would, please. If you do not worship the Son, you do not worship the Father.
That's right.
That's Scripture. That's God's word to us. Good morning, sweetie. Glad to see you were able to be with us. If you do not worship the Son, you do not worship the Father. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. When we speak of the Lord, we're speaking of Christ Jesus. And everything in God's Word, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, point us to the works of Jesus Christ. In our last study, we wrapped up chapter 2. And if you were here last week, you'll recall there was a man of God sent to Eli to speak. And he came to Eli and he said, "Thus saith the Lord." And he went on to declare the end of Eli's house as messengers of God. And what do we know when God declares something? It's going to happen, isn't it? If God says it will be so, it will be so. Otherwise, He's not God. It will come to pass. I want you to look back at verses 34 and 35 of chapter 2. "And this shall be a sign unto thee," speaking of what this man of God came to Eli and told about how his house was going to collapse, how all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age, different things like that. This is what that is speaking of. "And this shall be a sign unto thee of those things that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day shall die, both of them. And I," verse 35, "will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in mine mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." Now, in Friday night's Bible study, Pastor Gene once again pointed out that we must take Scripture in context with the surrounding verses when we seek to understand their meaning, which is why we read these two verses together. Our Lord says, "And this shall be a sign unto thee," speaking of what the man of God just declared, "that your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are going to die, both of them, in the same day. And I will raise me up a faithful priest and shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever." Now, verse 35 could most assuredly be pointing us to Christ. Absolutely. For Christ, He is the only truly faithful priest. But a point that is made in the Cambridge Bible, a study Bible, is that God uses men as pictures. Though they are fallible pictures, yet still pictures of He who is the Christ. And even though Samuel is never actually called a priest, for he was not of the lineage of Levi, he most assuredly performed the position of priest. Moses also did that. Moses performed many of the positions of priest, even though he was not a priest. We see back in verse 18 of chapter 2, Samuel wore a linen ephod. Now, this is a garment that is reserved for those who were in the priesthood. Look over also, if you would, at chapter 7. Hold your place there at chapter 3 and turn over to chapter 7 for a moment. And I'd like to show you what I mean about Samuel doing the duties of a priest. Chapter 7, look at verse 8. "And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. This is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ does. Our high priest sits on his throne right now, crying unto the Lord, this one's mine. That one's mine. I died for these. I hung on the cross and shed my blood for these. He is our intercessor. That's what a priest does. He goes into the holiest of holies and sprinkles the blood that represents Christ Jesus' blood, for the sins of the people. And Samuel took a sucking lamb, a small lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Now, one more thing I want to point out about verse 35, if you want to go back to our text. You see at the very end there where it says forever, that is an accurate translation. But those two words, which are koli koli and yome, could also be translated all the days of his life. See how that verse absolutely represents our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's also talking about Samuel at the same time. For as we continue on, we will see how these verses represent him. I share these points to keep us in context with the beginning verses here in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. And Samuel, and the child Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. That word precious also means rare. Has not the Lord, word of the Lord always been rare? You say, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean rare? How can you say that? There's a church on every corner. There's one right across the street here. There's one within a half a mile. There's another one just down the street over here. They all claim to be Christian religion. But who around us truly speak of a sovereign Savior? First thing I said this morning was, we've come to worship the sovereign Lord of all things. You go into any one of these other churches and they'll talk about a Jesus, but it's about a Jesus who has left something up to you to do. Whether it be exercising your decision, being a little smarter today than you were yesterday, or whatever. Come forward, do the prayers, hold the beads, whatever it might be. So in other words, their God's not sovereign. Their God's done something, but it's up to you to do something to help him, or you to do something to accept him, or you to do whatever. Their God doesn't rule over their hearts, and if you tell them they have no free will, they'll get mad at you. Many of you have heard me say this before. My aunt, sweetest lady on earth, I'm telling you, her face got red. She got angry. I'd never seen her angry ever until that time. She poked me in the chest and she said, you will not take away my free will. And that's what a free will Christian will do. Who around us speak of the God-man, the Son of the living God? Well, there are a great many who don't see Christ as God at all. They see Christ as God's Son, which he is, but he is also God in the flesh. There is only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Christ Jesus the Lord. That's God's word. Who around us speak of the only righteous one called Jesus? There are many who think, well, you know, I used to do this and I used to do that, but God, I accepted Christ. And now I do this, and I do that, and I'm good to the people, and I do that. And so they're speaking of their own righteousness. I tell you here today, every single person in this room, we have no righteousness of our own. That's also God's word. There are none righteous. No, not one. And that's the truth. You won't hear that in other places. You'll hear about how you can be better. And I'm telling you, there's only one way to be better, and that is to have Christ Jesus the Lord dwell in you. And He's the one who comes to you. Who around us speak of Him who laid down His life for His elect? You go into this church down the street, I think it's a Methodist one, isn't it? Yeah, you go into that church and they'll tell you Christ died for everybody. They'll tell you that God loves everybody and His blood made it possible for everybody who wants to make their decision to come to Him. Because He loves you, but you won't let Him. Think about that for a minute. That means the blood that was shed on the cross was worthless unless you do something for it. The blood that was shed on the cross saved His elect to the uttermost. Who around us speak of the blood that was shed upon that cross, the power that was behind it, that blood, the results of that blood that was shed? The blood on that cross was God Almighty. And when God does something, He does it perfectly. Or He's not God. It's perfect. So if the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life and shed His blood for His people, which He says in His word, then they will be saved. Who around us speak of the King who is King of Kings, sitting on His throne in heaven, giving life to all for whom the Father hath given Him? Our God is the High Priest, the flame that will never go out, the one who keeps His people, as Mike brought out in his devotional. And you can trust that, because everything He does is perfect. You can trust that. Even when we see our sin before us, the condition that we are in, the sinners before God, we know that His perfection is what matters. I can't add to it and I can't take it away. It's all of His. Who around us speak of the spotlessness in God's people in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord washed us clean of all the stuff that we see in our lives. I love to hear you talk about that, Pastor, because it is always before me, my sin. And I need to hear about a Savior who erased all that sin. Not just all that sin, but all this sin. All of who John Reeves is, and he looks at me in His Son, the Lord Jesus. Many of us have heard the story of Tom Sawyer, a brother, dear brother, who's gone on to be with the Lord. If I can tell this story correctly, probably not as well as you do, Pastor, because you experienced it, but Tom came to Pastor Gene after hearing him preach, and he said, "You know what, I'm going to look around and see if I can hear this word that you preach in any of the other churches." And he did. He went out and looked. And Tom was a very diligent man. As most of you who remember him know, he was very diligent. He went out and looked hard, didn't he? And he came back and he says, "I hear this word nowhere else. The word of the Lord is rare indeed. I know of one other in the area, and that's at Marysville. I've done a little searching myself. I don't live very close to this place, so I spent a little time looking myself. Probably not as diligent as Tom Sawyer did, but I went looking. Kathy and I have had the pleasure of traveling and stopping and saying, oh, you know, let's go in and check out that church. And as soon as we read something in there, it talks about free will or your ability to make a decision or change God's mind or whatever those foolish ideas are, we get up and walk out. No, the word of the Lord is rare and rare indeed. Verse 2. 1 Samuel 3, verse 2. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now we must understand something about this lamp. We must understand the purpose of the lamp that it's talking about. It was to keep the temple lit at all times. The temple had many lamps, and every once in a while, one would go out during the burning of the night. And while one lamp would be going out, the same time another one would pick up where it was. It wouldn't necessarily come on, that's what I'm saying, but there would be another one to fill the space of that lamp that went out. It would have been Samuel's job to go around and make sure the lamps would stay lit. And occasionally one would go out. There would be others burning so as to continually keep light inside the temple. Some of the commentators point out that God may be talking about the light in Eli, once a bright lamp of God, but now empty, burned out. They also go on to point out that a new lamp that we see pictured in Samuel. And the reason for this is you'll notice next in verse 4, God speaks to Samuel, not to Eli. Eli was a priest. The Lord didn't speak to the priest here. He's speaking directly to this young man. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4. That the Lord called Samuel. And he, speaking of Samuel, answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Eli, that was Eli speaking. He says, I called not. Go lay down. And he, Samuel, went and lay back down. In verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose again and went unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he, Eli, answered again and says, I called not, my son. Lie down again. Notice next, our Lord stops and he says, and he points out something about Samuel to us. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Have you got a bulletin with you? Has everyone got a bulletin? Look at the front page. John 16:13. This is how our Lord works. He inspired Pastor Gene to put this on the bulletin because the Lord knew I was going to be bringing this Bible study this morning. I had no idea. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths. Doesn't matter what I say up here. Doesn't matter the words that I speak. If the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit is not speaking to your heart, you will not hear the truths of his word. Oh, what a wonderful hope this is to us who know the Lord. We see here a boy that was raised in the knowledge of God. He had been taken, his mother had taken him as soon as he was born because she had promised the Lord that he would serve him if he gave her a son. She took him immediately. Did we not read that? She took him immediately and gave him to Eli to raise her son. And she would come back once a year and bring a coat with her. So here's a boy who has been raised in the knowledge, hearing about who God was, hearing about who God, what God would do, for Christ had not come yet. And yet our Lord says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. How many of us can say that very same thing about us? How we have heard the word of the Lord, but it wasn't till a certain time when he made it effectual in our hearts. When the Spirit of God spoke to us about who he is and what he has done and what he is doing now. This gives hope to us for our loved ones, for our loved ones' sake, does it not? How many of us have loved ones around us who do not know the Lord as we did not know the Lord at one time? Can we not also have that hope that our Lord will speak to them too?
Yes.
We know that the flesh and blood cannot reveal these truths of his to a lost sinner. We know that only God can speak to the heart. The Spirit must reveal the Son to the heart of men. To the heart, the heart of a man is dead to spiritual things of God. Yea, they are yet foolishness to the natural man. Yet God gives life to the dead. The miracle of the new birth. Faith to believe his word. God's gift to those that he has loved before the world was. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child, so he gave him instructions. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel. He didn't say, behold, Samuel, if you do something, I will do something, did he? No, he said, behold, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. Do you remember when God gave you ears? Ears of the heart to hear his word when it was preached? I do, very clearly. I was confused. I had no idea. I just know I had to hear more of it. More about Jesus, would I know? Did not the Word of God begin to burn within your very soul when he spoke to your heart? When you first heard the preacher say this, Christ died to save sinners. Do you remember what it was like realizing you were broke before the Maker? Do you remember what it felt, what you felt inside the very soul, seeing how great God's mercy is to a poor sinner? We have nothing in any of us. There's not a soul here that has anything different than the other. We have nothing. Our good works are nothing but dung. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, came to us when we were yet sinners. Do you remember what it was like realizing you were broke before your Maker? Do you remember what you felt inside your very soul, seeing how great God's mercy is to the poor sinner? Do you remember the wonder, the amazement that you felt when you first heard of the grace of our Savior and how He bestows it upon His chosen people? The God of glory sent His only begotten Son. He who made all things came and became a man to hang on that cross so that all of those who were given to Him by the Father would not perish. We who have had God's Word revealed to us, we were given to the Son before the world was ever made. We just didn't know it until the Lord used the preaching of His Word to reveal it to our hearts.
Amen.
Not some, but all that the Father giveth Him shall come to Me, He says. Why? Why would the people? Because He's God. Who can turn the hand of God? What God wants will come to pass. You might ask, am I one whose name is written in that book of life? That book that was written before the world was? Allow me to give you some answers. Are the words in this book beginning to make sense to you? That was the first thing I noticed. I too sat in that pew that day I heard you preach, and I said, that's the most sensible thing I've ever heard. For the first time, I heard about a God who truly is God.
Yes.
Not about something that could be made up out of your own heart to look like you, to act like people. But I heard about a God, the true God. Do you see your condition before God? This is why I thought Pastor Gene was doing this the whole time. He's looking at probably Mike sitting over there in the back, and he was doing this to John, who was sitting over there. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what that sin is. It's sin against God. Do you see through the preaching of His Word how people who were chosen in Him before the world was created, before a star ever twinkled in the sky? Do you see that the price of your sin was paid? That atonement that Christ made by going to the cross has fully satisfied the justice of God? Do you see the power of the One who calls His people by name? Do you see the love He has for His people, the assurance that He will never leave them nor forsake them, that all things are for their good? Is God opening His Word to your heart through the preaching of His Word? Is the work of your hands no longer sufficient? Turn to Christ, for His yoke is easy and He shall give you rest. We just sang the song. More about Jesus would I know, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. When the Savior comes to His people, we see our standing. We see our need of a Savior. And then he reveals his Son, our Savior, through the preaching of his word. Pastor Gene.